Welcome back to Mountain Money. Our guest in studio right now is Rob Hicken. He's with Delta Stone Products. Delta Stone is a full-service natural stone fabricator located in the western United States, and I believe you have a location in Heber?
We do.
Awesome. Well, first off, welcome, and thanks for coming into the studio to talk to us. So when you talk about stone products, what are the typical uses for stone products?
So typical use it would be for stone floors, fireplaces, chimneys, cladding for exterior facades of buildings, and countertops.
Okay. And is the Heber location is a new location for you?
We established Delta Stone Products back in the year 2000. So we built the fabrication plant there, and then most recently we've added some new equipment to our line, and which includes a 40 multi-wire saw with a 19-head polish system.
I've seen your trucks. I've seen Delta Stone being delivered, but I didn't know you were based in Heber. So you actually started in Heber in 2000?
That is correct.
And you guys have a open house coming up here September 20th?
We do, this Thursday.
Okay, and is that to kind of highlight the new equipment?
Yeah, that's why we're doing this.
And, you know, you live in a world where all this is intuitively obvious. What is a 40 stone cutter? I mean, what is this piece of equipment? Why is it significant?
So the reason why it's so significant is it's one of two saws that are like this in the United States. Mm-hmm. It's the largest saw like it in the United States, and it's like a big bread slicer. So what happens is there's 40 strands of wire that are impregnated with diamond matrix, and it goes down on a big quarry block of stone and cuts 40 slabs all at once that are about 3/4 to an inch thick.
So this will enable you, was this going to enable you to make larger panels for, you know, residential and other kinds of floor applications?
Yes, it will. We'll have a bigger capacity to have larger panels, and at the same time, we'll be able to source and fabricate and be the source of raw materials for some of the local suppliers like Daltile and Bedrosian's and Contempo, and they would actually buy from us, and they would take it to their slab yard, and then customers and fabricators would go to their slab yards and pick it out for their countertops.
Let's talk a little bit about your supply chain. You know, when we, you know, for those of us who've bought rock, and I know that I spent some time looking at slabs once. Where does it come from? Do you source rock from around the world?
We do. We source stones from Mexico, from Canada, all throughout the United States. Big sources are Texas and Kansas. Currently, we're doing a few projects where we're importing stone from Portugal. So all around the world is where we're bringing material from.
How do you do that? You know, it's not like, you know, when we've talked to some clothing manufacturers, we understand you can go to a show in London and see, or in Los Angeles and see all the clothes. I don't gather you can do that. There's no, like, national quarry show where they pull all the rocks together. How do you find
it? We might be surprised. I bet there is a national quarry show.
There actually is. Back in 84 when I started the business, I found out that we really did love stone and we loved what it could do. So we got involved with what we call the Building Stone Institute. It's a worldwide organization, and we've been a part of them and been part of their leadership on their boards, where we networked and built relationships with other quarriers and fabricators throughout the United States and the world.
So did you say you started the business in the 1980s?
In 1984.
So you're a young guy. I mean, you look like you're in your late 30s, 40s, mid-40s?
Mid-40s, 48.
Okay, 48.
It's so impressive.
This has been your entire career. So you probably started when you were, what, 18, 20?
Well, I got into it when I was 14 years old.
Okay. Well, which is unusual for somebody that's in their late 40s to be in the same industry that they started off with. Was your family in this industry, or how did you get involved in it?
No, my family wasn't. So when I was 14 years old, I came from a family of farmers and ranchers. And in 84, my grandfather sold out. And at that point, my father said, well, it's time to go look for a job. And so I started.
You were a 14-year-old son, or were you at that point 18 or 20?
No, I was 14 years old.
He came home and told his 14-year-old son, it's time for you to look for a job. Okay.
So I looked for a local mason contractor. My friend was working there. And the first day on the job, I showed up and he didn't think that they had work for us, because back in 84, things were tight. And he said, we didn't have work. And I said, well, can you just give me a job for 2 weeks? It'll give me a place to go. My dad will think I'm working. And after 2 weeks, he said, I think we can find something for you full time. So that's how I got into it.
And so, you know, what's interesting is when I was a kid, my whole family worked as well. And when I was your age, I was when I was 14, I was working as well. And one of the jobs I had was a guy had bought a bunch of bricks from a building that had been torn down. And he paid me a penny a brick to remove the mortar between the bricks. And that fostered a lifelong hatred of all things stone related. So you and I were about the same age. What was it that, that fostered this love of the stone industry in you?
I would say using your hands to take a natural stone and make it a finished product. For some reason, I just love what you can do to stone with your hands.
It is amazing to see what the rock looks like in the raw form, and you would never think, gee, this is going to be something that's decorative for my house, and what it looks like in the finished form. How much of that artwork, of the craftsmanship that goes into making the stones, how much of that has changed in the almost 40-year arc of your time in this industry?
I would say it's changed significantly. There is a lot of technology and machinery that's actually made it more affordable and possible to reach a greater audience. That's probably the biggest thing, is technology and machinery.
You know, and we're looking at this open house postcard here, and I think what you guys are celebrating is this huge piece of equipment. I mean, this is just a very impressive-looking saw. It's not at all what people think when they think of a saw. I mean, this is a huge piece of equipment. I'm curious, how was this done before this type of technology existed? How did they do this before electricity was commonplace? How did they cut rocks like this?
Well, when the pioneers came, I mean, a lot of it was done with a wire saw that was actually ran by an animal, you know, probably an ox or something like that, turned to flywheel, and that's how they did that. With this new saw, I mean, we started about a year and a half ago in the procurement stage of the equipment, and we bought it from Italy, and it took about 12 months to order it, for them to build it and fabricate it and then ship it over here. And we just put it into operation about 4 months ago.
Are there some public spaces that you could point us to where we could see good examples of the kinds of stone that you guys have been able to find?
Yeah. We've been fortunate to work in the Park City market for many years. We've been involved with the Montage project. City Creek was a big project, and we've done various projects all around town and within the community.
So in the Montage, we would see stone walls, and in which part that of the building that you can think of? Floors?
Yeah, at the main entry. Mm-hmm. All around the project, there's a lot of cut stone, a lot of local limes, a lot of local stone from Browns Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where you'd see it.
And you are able to find, I take it there is a lot of stone that you're able to cut locally here in the valley.
Yes. Yes, there is.
Okay. And, you know, I go down to City Creek, and it's just, I like that experience. It's stunning for a shopping mall. And frankly, part of what makes it stunning is the stone that's there. Now, that was a huge project. It was a very expensive project. For something like that, what percentage-wise, is it like 1% more for them to incorporate top-tier stone like that, or how big of a budget item is that for a project like that or the Montage?
Oh, I don't know. Probably the City Creek project was pretty special as far as the waterfalls and all of the waterways itself. That would probably be an outlier project where we help the architect up front kind of budget along the way. So I don't know what their original budget was, but I would say, you know, it may be 10 to 20% more to go to a natural stone product.
Okay. Yeah, and it definitely has a big wow factor to it. Anything else you'd like to share with us? You've got the open house coming on September 20th. You guys are in Heber City, 2276 South Daniel
Road.
Hi,
this is Greg Cropper of Jones Waldo Park City, a Park City alum.
Well, we just want to let everyone know that we appreciate the community support. We'd like to invite you. This facility is for homeowners, for mason contractors, tile setters, for architects, the industry in general. This is a plant that's probably within the top 5 or 10 spots of the nation as far as being ranked, and it's there to share, and I hope everyone can utilize it in the future.
Well, Rob, you have to be delighted, having been in this industry since you were 14 years old, and now to have a state-of-the-art facility like this and still be in your late 40s and have a 20-year career to look forward to at least going forward. So we're excited to see what the next 20 years looks like for Delta Stone. Rob, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
And the website is deltastoneproducts.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back.